right, let me give you a couple announcements before we get into preaching this morning. Next Sunday, we're going to have evangelist Jeremiah Hart and his family here with us. Of course, next Sunday is Resurrection, or it's commonly known as Easter Sunday. And we're still going to have the Harts with us. It'll be him and his wife and their four children will be here. Obviously, we'll be just promoting just via live stream again. And we're looking forward to that. And again, so they'll be here for the morning service, the evening service. So again, folks, tune in if you would for 11 o'clock and 5 o'clock for the Harts Come. I know also on our schedule, our calendar says Revival Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 13th, 14th, and 15th. That is canceled because of this situation with the virus. I'd like to reschedule that down the later on in the year. I can't promise you that, but that's my desire. It'd be a great idea to have a revival when the doors are back open, this stay-at-home order is lifted, and people come back in church, get them revived, and want to get back serving the Lord. So that's kind of my heartbeat, but I want to let you know what's going on there. Looking forward to that. And again, today is Palm Sunday, as you see a couple of palms behind me, and just trying to decorate for the upcoming holiday today and next Sunday. So it's good to have you this morning. Let's turn your Bibles this morning, Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. Mark 11, verses 1 to 10. Mark 11, verses 1 through 10 this morning. And when you found it, if you are able, would you please stand in honor of reading of God's Word, Mark chapter 11, verse 1 to 10. And for those of you who are live streaming, stretch your legs as well, if you would, back at your home. And stand, if you would. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. And when you found it, we'll begin reading these verses. Beginning in verse 1, chapter 11 of the book of Mark, God's Word says this: "When they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut branches off the trees and straw them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then verse 10 says this: Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And this morning I want to preach on the simple thought, it is borrowed. It is borrowed. So have a word of prayer and you can be seated. Let's pray. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord. I thank you again for this morning. Thank you for this Palm Sunday, Lord. I think of the upcoming Easter Resurrection Sunday, next Sunday, of course, the death, the burial, and the resurrection when he rose from the dead. I just look so excited to know that I serve a living Savior. And up from the grave he arose. And I thank God for my salvation. My salvation is not dead, but it's very much alive because my Savior is very much alive today. And I thank you for that, Jesus Christ. I pray you bless the message today. I pray you be a help to us. Bless God's people. Be with those who are listening via live stream. I pray you bless them. Help them get something from the message. I pray even in their own houses there be minimal distractions. I pray they have a mindset or a desire to stay focused on the preaching. And I pray you speak to their hearts just like you would if they were in the church pews here at Grace Baptist Church. Again, I ask for our country. I pray for it. I pray for mercy. I pray for healing. I pray, Lord, that you'd help end this virus quickly. I pray that churches can get filled up again. I pray you bless there. We love you and thank you, Lord. All we ask in your precious, holy, and saving name. Amen. God bless you, folks. You can be seated. All right. In light of the fact, as I mentioned, that today is Palm Sunday, I believe the message that God put on my heart is fitting for the occasion. And over there in Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 10, it was a story which we have, is one of the stories in the Bible, which is part of what we call the Palm Sunday occasion, or Palm Sunday holiday, if you want to call it that. I'm sure most of you are aware that today, the Sunday before Resurrection Sunday, is known as Palm Sunday. So although I started here with these verses, the message will not begin here. We're going to actually go to other verses to begin the message, but we'll come back here later on throughout the message. So if I may, let me get into it this morning. I just have one simple thought for you. I'm gonna mention a thought right from the get-go and then go from there. And the thought is simply this. Throughout Jesus Christ's earthly ministry, he was involved with things, for lack of a better word, that were borrowed. And we're going to point out a few of them here this morning. And I want to spend some time this morning to look at these different things throughout the message this morning. So let me look at the first one if I can. The first thing that was borrowed that Jesus was a part of in his ministry, the first was a borrowed boat. A borrowed boat. Go to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 3, if you would. I'll give you a second to find it. You're in the book of Mark. Past Mark is a book of Luke. So Mark and then Luke in the New Testament. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. And God's word says in those three verses there, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, that's Jesus Christ, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Here in these verses, Jesus Christ, he's preaching to these people. And picture, folks, I kind of picture my mind's eye. The people are up, if you would, up in the shore, up in the grass or the sand, if you would. And Jesus Christ, he's in the lake. And as he's preaching to the people, get closer and closer to him. And he goes farther and farther back just to try to get enough space so he can have his voice amplified. But obviously, his heels are on the edge of that lake. That's what I picture in my mind of what's happening. Don't know if that's actually the case, but I picture that being the case. What we do know, though, in these verses, that when he is preaching, the people are getting closer and closer. They're eager to hear what he has to say, and they desire to get what he wants to tell them. And in verse 2, as he's preaching, he notices a couple of boats that are on the shore, and there's some fishermen, and they just finished doing some fishing. We know that to be the case because they're washing their nets. Usually a wise or good fisherman will take care of his or her equipment. And so they're washing their nets, meaning they've just done some fishing. Then in verse 3, he walks up to one of the fishermen, who we know is named Simon, or Simon Peter, and he tells him that he wants to use Simon's boat. So along with Simon Peter, Jesus Christ gets in the boat, and a boat that is not Jesus Christ, it's Peter's. Now, I understand that Peter is with Jesus Christ in the boat, but Jesus Christ is controlling this boat. He is borrowing this boat. This is a borrowed boat that Jesus Christ is using. At the end of verse 3, Jesus Christ, he pushes off from the shore a little bit, and he finishes preaching to people. They're now probably, if you would, their feet are probably in the water, and he pushes off a little bit away, maybe 10 feet off the shore, and finishes preaching to the people so they can hear him gladly. And finally, when he finishes preaching and teaching the people, they eventually leave and go home. So in verse 4, he tells Peter, he says, Peter, listen, the people have left. I'm done preaching. Why don't you go off into the deep? Let's see if we can do some more fishing. And in verse 5, Peter responds by saying to him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Meaning what he's saying here, Peter's saying, Jesus, listen, Master, we have fished all night long. We have caught absolutely nothing, not even a sunny, not a minnow, nothing. I guess that's why they call it fishing, not catching. Amen, all the fishermen out there. But I'll do what you ask, Master. And he goes out, and they throw their nets over. And in verses 6 to 7, I'm paraphrasing now, they let their nets down, and the Bible says that a multitude of fishes come into the net to the point that the nets begin to break from the weight of the fish. And when they do that, Peter calls a second boat over to throw those fish into the boat. So now both boats are filled with fish. There is so much fish, the weight is so heavy, that the boats begin to sink from the weight of the fish. I don't know about you, my friend, but I'm excited when I catch a 5-inch catfish. They caught hundreds, if not thousands, of fish. Man, they're beside themselves. And of course, it begins to sink. And again, and it was in this boat that Jesus Christ borrowed. It was in this boat that Jesus Christ, he breaks through the heart of a man, the man Peter. And he allowed Peter to see with Peter's own eyes what Peter was. that Peter was a sinner. If you look at Luke chapter 5, verse 8, Peter says this, "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" Now let me ask you, my friend, have you been there before? Have you been to the place in your life when you realized that you were a sinner? Or as Peter put it, a sinful man. Can you admit that you're a sinner? Peter did. He did. I remember out soul winning years ago, out knocking some doors, and I came across a man who I remember talking to him for a while, conversing back and forth. He would never admit that he was a sinner. He would always respond saying things like this, "I'm a good person. I've never done anything where I would consider myself a sinner." You see, here's what he's doing. He was comparing himself to people who are worse off than him, like Osama bin Laden or like Hitler, men who were a lot more wicked and sinful than he was. And if he did that, sure, if he compared himself to someone who was more wicked and sinful than he was spiritually, sure, he would look perfect. If I can put it like this, if this picture represents a man, and the black spot, if you can see that, represents his sin on a white piece of paper, he was comparing himself to men and women like this who were a lot more sinful than he was. Sure, man, we're like this. We can find someone who's worse off than us, and you can always find someone worse off than you. Spiritually speaking, we're going to look a lot better. You say, man, I've never sinned before, but like Peter compared himself to Jesus Christ. It all changes when we compare ourselves to someone who's perfect. Now, if this is us, the black spot here in the middle, this is Jesus Christ, not any black, no sin at all, surely we all fall short. All of us are sinful people. We're all sinners. And because of that reason, we all fall short of heaven, because heaven is perfect and we are not, and our sins condemn us to a place called hell. It's what we deserve. That all happened on a borrowed boat. Have you been there before, my friend? Have you been to the spot when you understood, I am a sinner? If we all compare ourselves to Jesus Christ, all of us fall short, because all of us have sinned before. So number one, the first was a borrowed boat, the realization that we're sinners and don't deserve heaven because of our sins. Number two, the second was a borrowed colt, C-O-L-T, a borrowed colt. Go to Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. Mark 11, verse 1 to 3, if you would. And I know we were at these verses in the beginning of the message here in the introduction. We'll come back to them again. I know we read all 10 verses in the beginning. I'm just going to read the first three one more time to you. Mark 11, verse 1 to 3. It says this, "And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither." Here again, in these three verses here, is one of those accounts where we read the story, is where we get known as the Palm Sunday, or the Sunday that we observe today, known as Palm Sunday. In fact, all four of the Gospels, Matthew, here in Mark, Luke, and John, all give account to this same story, or the story we have popularized as Palm Sunday. To give you a brief overview, Jesus Christ had just recently raised him from the dead there. And that day, when this day here in Mark chapter 11, there's a lot of people here in this chapter here, and they're coming here around for different reasons. And I believe a lot of them were here to see Jesus Christ because he had just raised Lazarus from the dead. They wanted to see this man who could actually be dead. And in these verses, they get it, the disciples. And in verse 7 says this, "And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him." The people, basically what happens is, here, picture if you would, there's a colt they found, or other verses refer to it as an ass. They get a colt and they take their clothes, they throw their clothes on the colt, and then Jesus Christ, he sits on top of those clothes, which is sitting on top of the colt there in verse 7. And in verse 8 says this, "And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strode them in the way. If you were to cross-reference verse 8 with John chapter 12 and verse 13, it says this, took branches of palm trees. So pretty much, if you get a picture, Jesus Christ, he's on this colt, this ass, this donkey, and he's on this colt, and the colt is walking down this path here, and people see him coming, and they take their clothes and they throw it down on the ground. They take palm trees, they throw them down on the ground. What are they recognizing? They're recognizing this man is deity. He's not a normal man. There's something special about this man, Jesus Christ. And then in Mark chapter 11, verse 9, the people start shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Halfway through the verse, you'll see that. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Listen, my friend, it was here on a borrowed colt that the people were acknowledging that Jesus Christ, he was the one who was the focus of their attention. He was the same one who was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. Hey, they're recognizing him as being something special. And it all happened on a borrowed colt. So let me ask you, my friend, just like I asked you earlier, was there a time when you realized that you were a sinner, the Son of the living God? Hey, look at my friend, when you understand that only then there's an opportunity, a way for you to get to heaven, because only the blood of Christ can get you to heaven. Verse 6 says this, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, but by me, look, I'm a sinner, I deserve hell. There also got to be a place to realize only Jesus Christ can save me. Only his blood can wash away my sins. He is a Son of God. Something amazing about him. Because if you don't acknowledge that, and you don't believe that Jesus Christ can take you to heaven, you'll never be saved. Happened on a borrowed colt, my friend. On a borrowed colt. So number one, the first was a borrowed boat. The realization that we're sinners and don't deserve heaven because of our sins. Number two, the second was the borrowed colt, that we realize that Jesus Christ is Son of God. Let me get number three. Number three, the third was the borrowed room. The borrowed room. Go to Mark chapter 14, if you would. Mark chapter 14. I've already been in the book of Mark already. Mark chapter 14, verses 12 to 17. Some order here. Mark chapter 14, verse 12 to 17. 12. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples, that's Jesus' disciples, said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man of water, follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came unto the city, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And that, and finally, verse 17, and in the evening he cometh with 12. Here we are here in these verses. This is a story that's been nicknamed the Last Supper. The Last Supper. Right here, just right before Jesus Christ would go to the cross. And most of you know the story here, but if you don't know the story, here in this story, the disciples, they ask Jesus Christ, where are they going to have the Passover feast? And Jesus Christ, he sends a couple of them into the city again, where they see a man, he's holding a pitcher of water. And again, you see the omnipotence of Jesus Christ being the Son of God. He knew exactly where people were going to be at a perfect time. The disciples go into a city. They find a servant holding a pitcher of water. And they ask him, where is that room that they can go to, which we refer to as the upper room. And of course, they follow the servant there to a furnished room. And that's where they have their Last Supper. And it's up there in that room that Jesus Christ and the 12 disciples are in the upper room, a borrowed room. Borrowed room, which wasn't owned by Jesus Christ. It was here in this upper room that Jesus makes this statement in verse 18, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And we know who that one was. If you go to John chapter 13, verses 26 and 27, I'll have you turn there. That's another companion verses here to this same story. In verse 26, they find out that man who would betray Jesus Christ was Judas Iscariot. And in John 13, verse 27, it says this, "And after the sup, Satan entered into him," that's Judas, "then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly." Listen, it was in this borrowed room that Satan came into the heart of Judas Iscariot. But can I also say to you, my friend, just, I can put it like this, the opposite is necessary for a person to get to heaven. Meaning, we need Jesus Christ to come into our heart. We need to ask Him to come into our heart as our Savior in order to go to heaven. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Listen, as I said earlier, it takes a borrowed boat to believe you're a sinner. Or I'm sorry, it takes an understanding like in the borrowed boat to realize that you're a sinner deserving to go to hell. It takes a realization like on the borrowed colt to realize that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And then here it takes the borrowed room to not only believe that, but willing to ask Him to come into your heart as your Savior. Eternal life happens when a person believes they're a sinner deserving hell for their sins, and they ask Jesus Christ to come in their heart as their Savior. Listen, my friend, you realize you're a sinner, you realize that you don't deserve heaven for your sins, and you realize only Jesus Christ can save you. Hey, my friend, can I ask you, have you been there? Have you been there like it was in that borrowed room where a principle that can be implied or understood, the realization where you realize that you needed to ask Jesus Christ into your heart in order to get to heaven one day? Have you been there before in that borrowed room? Where were you when that happened? When you understood that, wait a minute, I'm a sinner, I deserve hell, I have got to ask Jesus Christ in my heart. This was understood in that borrowed room. So number one, the first was the borrowed boat, the realization that we're sinners and don't deserve heaven because of our sins. Number two, the second was the borrowed colt, that we realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The third was a borrowed room, the understanding that we need to ask Jesus Christ into our hearts as our Savior. And number four, the fourth was the borrowed tomb. The borrowed tomb. Go to Matthew 27, if you would. If you're in the book of Mark, go back one book to the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 57 to 60. Matthew 27, verse 57 to 60. It says this, "When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed." We know what's going on here. Most of you know here the story, the wonderful story here. The first part of it. Jesus Christ had just been crucified. He is clinically dead. His heart is no longer beating. He's no longer breathing. He is not. His brain activity has ceased. Joseph of Arimathea, who according to verse 57, was one of Jesus Christ's own disciples, he took the body from Pilate. And he said, "Listen, Pilate, I want to take the body. I have a tomb that I have purchased for myself. I want to use it for the Savior, for the Jesus Christ." And it's here that they laid to rest, if you would, that body of Jesus Christ in a borrowed tomb. But praise God, my friend, as you know, the story does not end there. And if you go one more chapter over to Matthew 28, the verses 1 to 6, and I'm not going to read all six verses for sake of time, but I'll paraphrase the six verses, Matthew 28, verses 1 to 6. There were some ladies that were coming to Jesus Christ's tomb, but when they got there, they were shocked to not see the the rock in front of the tomb there, they were shocked to find the stone was rolled away, and there was an angel there. And that angel said one of the sweetest phrases to them in verse 6. The angel says this to the ladies, "He, Jesus Christ, is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." Listen, my friend, hey, he's alive. Praise the Lord, he's alive. My friend, listen, let me ask you, did you ever believe that you were a sinner deserving hell for your sins, like in the borrowed boat? Did you ever believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, like on that borrowed colt? Did you ever believe that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven, and you had to ask him to come in your heart as your Savior, like in the borrowed upper room? But let me ask you this, did you ever do what the Bible says and actually pray that prayer and truly get born again, and that eternal life, have eternal life like in that borrowed tomb, and know for sure that you have eternal life because Jesus Christ himself defeated death to give us life? Listen, hey, I've heard it said like this, people go to hell over 12 inches, or they miss heaven by 12 inches. What does that mean? I'm sorry, 18 inches, excuse me. People miss heaven by 18 inches. They say there's about 18 inches from your brain to your heart. See, many people know they're a sinner. They know they deserve hell for their sins. They know Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. They know they have to ask him to come to their heart as their Savior, but they never believe. They never trust him and make that decision. They never ask him. They die with the understanding, the knowledge, but never doing anything with it. Never go to heaven. You know, I can give you a check today. I can write out a check to you. I wrote a check to, I'll pick someone's name here. I wrote a check to Jeremy Childress today. Jeremy Childress. And I can put his name on the check. I wrote out a certain amount there. And I give it to Brother Jeremy, the check. And of course, he's not here today. He's home live streaming with his family. But I can give a check to Brother Jeremy. And I give that check to him. And I can say, man, here's a great check for you. It's $1,000, Brother Jeremy. I want to be a blessing to you. And Brother Jeremy says, thank you. I mean, I needed $1,000. He takes the check home. And he can believe that check is real. He can look at the check. It has his name on it. Has the $1,000 written out. The $1,000 in the numerical side of the check. And he has my signature on it as well. And he looks at the check. He can stare at that check. Man, I believe this check is real. I believe this check can give me $1,000. Man, I really believe this check can give me $1,000 more money. But he takes the check and he puts it on his nightstand. He never brings it to the bank. And the rest of his life, every day he comes in, he says, you know what? I believe that check can get me $1,000. I know it can. I know Brother Munkowski won't lie to me. I know his money's good. That check will be $1,000. But he never does anything with the check. He never brings it to the bank. The check is good, but how valuable is a check if he never ever cashes it? It doesn't do him any good. Friend, you can know everything about Jesus Christ. You can know everything about the Bible inside and out. You can know you're a sinner. You can know you deserve hell for your sins. You can know Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and you can actually understand it. You can agree with it. But if you never take that gift of eternal life, according to Romans 6:23, if you never ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart as your Savior, it does you no good. Hey, did you make that decision, my friend? Where were you when you made that decision? And if you're listening to the preaching this morning and you've never made that decision, you're not on your way to heaven. You're not saved, my friend. I'd encourage you. You can get saved by asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as your Savior. I'll mention that here at the end of the message here this morning. But if you are saved, where were you when that happened? Greatest day of my life, April of 1997, Hamden, Connecticut, a senior in college, Quinnipiac University. I'll never forget the day when I bowed my head and asked Jesus Christ to come to my heart as my personal Savior. Best day of my life. I understood all those things. I did what the Bible said. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I took what I understood, and I did something with it. I took the gift. I confessed and I believed, and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:9. Have you ever taken that decision? So again, recapping the message. The first was a borrowed boat, the realization that we are sinners and don't deserve heaven because of our sins. Number two, the second was the borrowed colt. We realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The third was the borrowed room, the understanding that we need to ask Jesus Christ into our heart as our Savior. And the fourth was a borrowed tomb, to pray and receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And one more, I'm done the scene. Last one this morning, number five. Number five is the borrowed body. The borrowed body. Before I give you these two verses, let me just say this. If you're listening to the sound of my voice and you're on your way to heaven, then you are saved, my friend. If you've trusted Christ your Savior and you are born again, you're on your way to heaven this morning. Praise the Lord for that. If I can say that to you then, let me say this then. With that thought in mind, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20. If you're listening to the sound of my voice and you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. If I can use this phrase, you have a borrowed body. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20. It says here in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20, "What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? We are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Those two verses tell us that when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, and you are not your own, meaning Jesus Christ, he paid for you with his shed blood on Calvary. So with that borrowed body that's paid for, what are you doing with that borrowed body? Listen, in the borrowed boat, something amazing happened. Someone realized they were a sinner. On a borrowed colt, something amazing happened. People realized the person riding the colt, Jesus Christ, he was a son of God. The borrowed room, something amazing happened. There was the understanding or the principle that you need Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior to get saved. And then also, in that borrowed tomb was a realization that Jesus Christ is alive. He is the Son of God. He's the only way to heaven. And all you do is ask him to come into your heart and you will be saved. Listen, those are wonderful. Those things happen in borrowed things. But listen, my friend, what are you doing with your borrowed body? What are you doing with your borrowed body? Are you living for God with that borrowed body? Hey, my friend, have you come into the place that you realize if you're saved that you are, listen, you're property of God? I think it was my son Caleb when he was little. He had this shirt. He was probably like 3 years old. He had one of these shirts. Food stains everywhere on the shirt, you know, because he's a boy and boys can't get any food in their mouth. Praise the Lord. But Caleb had a shirt. I'll never forget the shirt. An orange shirt with blue letters. He loved the word. He'd always stick his chest out when he wore it. One of these things. It said, "Property of D.A.D. Property of Dad." Man, I'm Dad. Praise the Lord. Of course, the shirt's too small now from the wear. I don't think he'd be embarrassed wearing it. But anyway, look at, property of Dad. Listen, my point is, hey, if you're saved, you're property of God. Or his property, my friend. You're bought with a price. And what are you doing with that body he's given you? Are you living for him with that body? Hey, listen, if you're saved again, you realize you're going to heaven. You'll never see hell because of that. And my friend, we have a responsibility to serve God with that body. Where were you when you realized that, or have you realized that? Salvation is not just meant to be a fire escape from hell. It's meant so we can serve God. Serve him. Where were you? Right here, I have some tracts here. They're called the coronavirus tracts. I encourage you, if you come by the church, I'll give you some. They have our church name on the back. It's a gospel tract here, and deals with the coronavirus, which is on everyone's mind, I promise you. I know we have the social distancing, that's 6 feet away from people. But some of you might know somebody who could use a tract. I mean, you can put it in their door or somehow get it to them without compromising yourself health-wise. Mail to him, whatever. Look, friend, we have a responsibility even today for the Lord. Hey, are you in this thing? Are you reading it? Are you spending time in the Word? Are you? Hey, praise God for those who are watching the live stream. I wonder if all the church members of Grace Baptist Church are watching the live stream this morning. Or have we turned that off? Have we turned it off? It's easy to get complacent, easy to get lazy. We have a borrowed body, responsibility to serve the Lord with it. And I promise you, even with, if you look on Fox News, I'm sure all the major broadcasts, when you turn those news stations on, usually there's a counter. I know Fox News has a counter on the right side. Has total infected worldwide, total deaths worldwide. And then I think 5 seconds later, it flips to another screen, total infected in United States, America-wide, and then total deaths in the United States of America. And it flips back to the global number and then back to the USA, back and forth. And people are watching that number go up. I know death is on people's minds. And I'm sure many of them are thinking, where am I going to go when I die? This track has the answer. We have a responsibility, my friend. We have been given a borrowed body. Use it for Christ. I'm done this morning. But we understand that a lot happened with the life of Jesus Christ that involved things that were borrowed. And we know that He is the only way to heaven. Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? And if you're living your life for Jesus Christ with the body that's purchased, I say praise God. But don't forget, you have a borrowed body, my friend. Bought with a price. You're not your own. It's borrowed. Use it for His glory. Just like that boat was used. Just like the upper room was used. Just like the colt was used. Just like the tomb was used. Use that body for Jesus Christ. Let me ask you all to bow your head and close your eyes if you would. I know I gave a salvation message here in this sermon this morning, this message here. I believe the salvation was clearly mentioned several times. But can I ask you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you a couple questions. I know I can't see most of you. You can only see me, but I can't see you. But can I ask you, number one, if you're with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you die today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Would you raise your hand if that's you? Are you saved? You know it. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Your hands down. Thank you. Maybe if you listen to the sound of my voice, you couldn't raise your hand, or you don't know that for sure. If you die, where are you going to spend eternity? And if you're honest, you would say, Pastor Munkowski, if I die today, I am not sure that heaven is my home, but I'd like to know that. Here's what I encourage you to do. If you're not saved, would you please give me a call at 217-224-4055. I can walk you through it, but let me just tell you, you heard it already in the message. You have to understand that you're a sinner, that you deserve hell for your sins, and Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Only Him and His blood that was shed on Calvary. You have to ask Him to come in your heart to save you by praying a prayer and trusting Him as your Savior. And if you'd like to do that, please give me a call. I'm more than happy to call you back and walk you through that. This church can't save you. I can't save you, but Jesus Christ can. Maybe the quietness of your living room, if you realize you're a sinner, you need to be saved, you can pray a prayer like this. Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell for my sins. Please come into my heart and save me and take me to heaven when I die. And if you meant that, you prayed that and you meant it. I know it's not just a bunch of words. It's a realization, understanding. I need to trust Christ and turn from my sin and get saved. Ask Him to come into my heart as my Savior. If you did that, please call. Leave a message on the machine. I'm the only one that will hear that message. 217-224-4055, and let me know if you got saved. Or you can send an email. Go to our website, www.gbcquincy.com, and send a message. You can do that too, if you would. Last question, we'll have an invitation. If you're saved, what are you doing with that body, my friend? Are you using it for God? Please use it for Him. Because we will stand and give an account to Jesus Christ for how we did with the body we used for Him when we were saved. I'll have a word of prayer when I say amen, have you all stand. The Lord spoke to your heart, you come use the altar as long as you like. Take all the time you need this morning. Father, we love you and thank you now. Thank you for loving us. Thank you again for the message we heard today. Thank you, Father. or this thought, it's borrowed. So many things happen that involve Jesus Christ and things that were borrowed, like a borrowed boat, borrowed colt, borrowed room, and a borrowed tomb. Those of us who are saved, we have a borrowed body. We do amazing things for Christ for that as well. I pray you bless the invitation, be with God's people. We love you and thank you. Now, all else we ask in your name. Amen. Would you all stand? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord, spoke to your heart. Music in the play. Would you come with you all?